Well, I can report three sure signs that fall is approaching fast. One, I got to watch about 2 minutes of a very bad preseason football game last night. Two, at the earlier service, the acolytes were comparing the upcoming semester school schedules that they had received this week with varying degrees of enthusiasm and dread. And three, as you pass through the narthex, you probably noticed there were many opportunities to sign up for things. The fall is beginning, and we have so much happening. And that very much is my world right now, as we begin to think about church school and our youth programs and many of the things that are happening. This is very much the season of invitation, when I and a few other people have a chance to get in touch with people who perhaps have not had a chance to teach or to lead some of these activities before, and invite them. And I get a response, some that doesn't surprise me, but there is one response that I do get surprised at. I'm never too surprised when people are honored to be asked and want to keep doing it or start something new, and that's always great to hear. And I'm never too surprised when people, quite honestly, are busy, because we're all busy, there's a lot of things going on, and perhaps we want to give our attention, as much attention as we can, to something that's important. But one thing that has surprised me over the years is how often people respond when I invite them, when we invite them, for example, to lead a church school class. They say that they're honored to be asked, and they might like to someday, but right now, they just don't feel like they know enough. They just don't feel like they have the right answers. And at some level, they're a little bit afraid of teaching the wrong answers to our children. And I suppose that surprises me, because I've never imagined myself as really knowing enough, and yet here I am. But the more I think about it, the more it does make sense. Because we do sometimes have a reluctance to do this kind of teaching, because we might be afraid that we don't have the answers. How do I speak of God? It can feel a little bit intimidating, I think, especially perhaps we can imagine people who we know in our community and beyond who are those wise teachers, the people who we look at and we say, gosh, they just seem to know it. They just seem to get it. And we think, why don't I know it? What don't I get? And when do I get to figure that out? Does it come with age? Does it come through certain experiences? Does it only come to a few people? How does that happen? And so I suppose it's natural for some of us to think, gosh, do I know enough to tell other people about God? Do I know enough to teach? Do I know enough to lead a group? Especially when we think so highly of our kids and it's so important for us to do it right. Do I have the right answers? And of course, I think in our community, we might have a particular reluctance to share with one another our experiences of God. I think that comes from an understandable humility. We don't want to be pushy about our faith. There's a joke that I actually think is a good one about the Episcopal definition of evangelism, which says that we're really nice to people and we hope people will ask us why. But behind that is a reluctance to really talk about it. And I think it's because in some ways we lack a vocabulary. We sometimes just simply lack the words to talk about it. But at another level, we just think, gosh, who am I? Who am I to talk about something so transcendent and so life-giving as God, as the one who created us, as the one who walks with us and cares for us? Well, Jeremiah said something very similar to that, didn't he? When God came to him and called him to a ministry of prophecy, Jeremiah said to God, "I do not know how to speak, for I am only a boy. I do not know how to speak, for I am only a boy. I don't think I have the answers that I need to have to do what you're asking me to do. But God was persistent and said to Jeremiah, that won't do. Because God had already said to Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I consecrated you. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I consecrated you. Whatever it was that Jeremiah needed, he already had. It had been written on his heart from the very beginning of his days. He didn't need to discover something that wasn't already at some level a part of who he was. He didn't need to learn and find something that was completely foreign and new. What he needed to do was remember. Was remember how God had created him and who God had created him to be. I think the same is true for us. That when we connect to something, when we hear something that just speaks to us of God and just goes, touches us at a deeper level than we're used to encountering, and we know it touches something real, that's that resonance. That's touching that place where God formed us at our very beginning. And it's remembering. We are remembering what God created. It's not just about learning things. The learning is important. It's not just about memorizing the right things. It's not about proving ourselves or proving to one another that we know certain answers. It's about remembering. It's about remembering who God created us to be. Remembering who God calls us to be. And discovering that deep connection within ourselves that already exists. That connection is a part of God's vision for us, and it was when we were created. I wonder, though, if we sometimes live our lives less focused on those beginnings and that vision God had for us at our beginning, and focus more on having those right answers and figuring out just what those right answers are, because we don't want to be wrong about letting other people know that we have the right answers. I wonder if our lives are less focused on that very beginning and more on getting it right. When we live our lives according to these first words that God wrote on our hearts when we were formed, we are shaped by the fact that we were created for divine union with God. We were created to love and to be loved. We were created to be good. To me, I think of those as the first words, those that God wrote on our hearts. But if we're guided more by being right and by having the answers, and there's a place for answers, but if the balance is such that being right is the standard by which we judge ourselves, we're always going to be plagued by this lingering sense of, what if we're wrong? What if we're teaching wrong? And there, I think, we get a sense of fear. And I don't think fear is life-giving. I think there's a lot of cultural baggage that we come into the situation with, where we sometimes place this need for answers and the fear that comes from it front and center. And I'm just not sure that it should be there. Because I think that first vision that God had for us is so important. It reminds us that we're all on a journey together. And sometimes we're going to get it right and sometimes we're not. But we're going to grow. And we're going to continue to be formed by that. When our lives and our journeys are less about answers than about remembering those first words and letting them shape us and form us, then suddenly our reluctance to talk about God diminishes. Because we want to share this kind of a story. When our lives are guided by a joyful relationship, we can't help but want to share that. In so many ways we tell that story. And what we get out of that is not, we don't find answers, we find something deeper. We find wisdom. And that wisdom guides us and forms us as individuals and as a community. What I'm talking about is a life of faith rooted in trust and in joy, and not in fear. Because I don't experience fear as being life-giving. To me, it's kind of brittle. When we're confronted with challenges and hardships, but our foundation has been all about just trying to get it right, getting the right answers, we may have the right things to say, but it may not sustain us. There's just not the kind of joy there that I think we need. But when our lives are rooted in this joyful, life-giving relationship with God, one of presence to God's love, and one based on remembering who God called us to be, it changes our lives. And yes, we do encounter hardship, and we do go through challenges, and we do feel pain. But they have a different meaning. They continue to be a part of our walk with God, and our relationship continues to deepen, even in the midst of those hard times. Our lives take a certain shape when we remember that, like Jeremiah, we were each known and loved by God long before we took our first steps in the world. There is an intimacy there, a depth of relationship with God that helps us pass the idea that we don't have the answers, so who are we to say anything anyway? Because that thing that we need, those answers, we have them. We've always had them. And that thing is God's deep, abiding, and life-giving love for each one of us. Before you were born, I consecrated you. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. I knew you.